want your heart, I just want your heart, 'cause I want you. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of the Slasher Sanitarium. I'm your host, Troy, and today we're taking a look at the very first episode of Netflix's Black Summer. Now, Black Summer is a prequel to the sci-fi show Z Nation, but please don't mention Z Nation. So, this is an interesting kind of conundrum that the creators had, was that they wanted to make a zombie show for Netflix, but they didn't want it to be as goofy and balls out crazy as Z Nation. So you'd think, just make a new one. But instead, they're like, no, we're going to call it Black Summer, which is what the apocalypse is called in Z Nation. They refer to Black Summer as the start of the zombie apocalypse. The fact that they never mention Z Nation, they don't have anybody that are even from Z Nation appear on this, which they could have, and the zombies act completely different than the Z Nation ones. I don't know why they ever even mentioned the fact that this is in anywhere related to Z Nation at all. Just make it its own thing. Like, I understand Black Summer is a cool name for a show. It's also a mediocre Danzig song. But again, like, just make it its own thing. You don't have to tie it into an existing show. Because what happened was you tried to tie it in with Z Nation because you must have been trying to get some of their fans. Most of those fans hate this show. So there is an overabundance of really negative reviews out there because the Z Nation fans thought they were getting a continuation of the sci-fi show, albeit in the form of like a brand new story, but set in the same universe. But instead, we don't get that. This doesn't even appear to be set in the same universe because, as I said, the zombies act very fucking differently. We'll get to that in a little bit. And it also appears in this one that everybody is infected, which is not the case in Z Nation. People die in there all the time and they do not instantly turn into zombies. But we'll get into the establishing of the zombie rules in this new universe. So there's a bunch of really negative reviews out there, and it's unwarranted because, at least from the first episode, I really enjoyed this episode. And obviously I will explain why. You're getting a ton of kind of negative press from that because of those fans thinking that they got duped a little bit. When you go in expecting one thing and you get something else, and it's not exactly what you're expecting, sometimes that can ruin your experience. And I think that's what happened to a lot of the people. No fault of their own on that. If you go in going, this is going to be a comedy, it's going to be, you know, goofy, and the zombies are going to be fucking weird and stuff like that, like in Z Nation, and then you come in here and it's like, oh, this is really serious. Oh, it's kind of scary at some points, at least tense. You're like, yeah, this wasn't, you got to be in the right mindset for certain things. And that doesn't really happen here. So to those people who, you know, are going into this thinking that it is in anywhere the same tone of Z Nation, it's not. This is a very serious show, to the point where I don't recall there being any kind of jokes in the first episode or anything that was even remotely kind of funny. Maybe there was a little part with Julius, but even that, you still kind of knew what was coming. So anyways, we're going to start things off here. We start off with an air raid siren. It's not the best way to wake up, but hey, what are you going to do? It's a zombie apocalypse. We see that the streets are deserted. You can hear dogs barking, so they're around. We see a car is at an abandoned gas station, and another is in the driveway with a flat tire. So it's a cool establishing shot, but I don't know. They don't really give you when this takes place, because this is clearly after shit has gone down. Now, again, it's another series or movie that says that it's going to be the start of the zombie apocalypse. We are clearly already in it at this point. This isn't the case of, like, you know, the Dawn of the Dead remake was the start of the zombie apocalypse, where you're like, we're starting to get little hints, and then shit just breaks loose. Shit's already broken loose here. Like, these people are locked down in their houses, and the army is there. Clearly not, like, the actual army, but more like the reserves and stuff like that, because obviously it would be all hands on deck. But they're doing a lot of things where clearly outbreak has already happened, and they're trying to contain it. That's different than the start of the zombie apocalypse. This is like, we're a couple of feet from the starting line of the zombie apocalypse. So, but anyways, I'm fine with it. We get a title card that says Rose. We see, who I guess must be Rose, and she's with another man in the house. Rose walks over to a little girl named Anna and says it's time to go. Rose is the only person that I think is going to be really recognizable to anybody. She is Jamie King from Sin City and a couple other movies here and there. She's probably the most famous person they got for this, which I was kind of surprised. Netflix seems to have their, like, deals. I was surprised Machine Gun Kelly didn't show up in the first episode. If he shows up, I might stop watching the fucking show, so hopefully he doesn't. Yeah. So we can hear some military yelling in the background, and we see a bunch of other people join Rose and her family, so clearly it's evacuation time. Everyone's running in the street, and we see a sign that says looters will be shot. The crowd continues to run down the road, and we see that the military have set up a safe zone here. So they are loading people up into trucks, checking everyone's paperwork, which I'm not sure if their paperwork was just, I don't know, like, because it wasn't just a driver's license. They had, like, full sheets of paper, so I'm not sure what the things say on the paperwork. But anyways, they're also checking people out with a metal detector, so I guess zombies are able to hold guns? And the only reason I make that joke is because they ask Rose's husband if he's got a gun, and he says no, and the guy goes, why not? Well, like, dude, you're checking everyone with metal detectors. Do you want them to have guns, or don't you want them to have guns? Make up your goddamn mind. Anna gets checked out. She's fine. She gets put on the truck. Rose and her husband get checked out, but Rose's husband is sweating a lot. He gets pulled away, and they pat him down, and he yells when he gets patted on the stomach. So the guard proceeds to make him open his jacket, and we see he has a bloody wound. And all hell breaks loose. Apparently they have never dealt with the bit person before trying to board anything, because this does not end well. The military pulled their guns on him, but then the truck drives off with Anna, so of course Rose is super, super upset about that. And somehow Rose and her husband run away. Like, you could clearly see he was bit. Why didn't you take the shot? You had the shot. You clearly did. Just take a shot. So they get into a house, collapse on the floor to hide, and Rose plays Big Spoon to somebody who is a heartbeat away from making you a snack. Again, clearly everyone has seen Zombie, Patrick up close and personal. So they proceed to have a little conversation. Rose is upset that she let Anna go. She gets up, and her husband, who is named Patrick, who we don't hear until a little bit later, that's his actual name, he's not doing great, so they have a conversation in regards to the fact that he knows that she's not going to get let in anywhere with him with her, because he clearly is going to fucking die soon. And then not be dead as much anymore. So he wants her to go alone. So I guess it takes a while for people to turn in this world if you're bit. So again, we're trying to establish the rules here. We don't know when he got bit. It doesn't seem like it was recent, because he had a bandage on him and stuff like that, and we haven't seen any zombies around in this part of town. But yeah, apparently it takes a long enough time from when you are bit to when you die and turn that he's able to get back to the house, they're able to get all their shit together and go out to this place. So quite a bit of traveling and everything like that. So hopefully they let us know a little bit more on how long it takes, because if the next time we see someone get bit around the stomach or arm area, not like a something that would kill you if you bled out, and they like instantly turn, I'm gonna be a little upset. So she hugs him before she says she's gonna get some water. She checks cabinets before hearing a noise. This is when she calls out Patrick, so thanks for naming him. she grabs a kitchen knife before she slowly heads to the back of the house. So here, the scene gets really nice and tense because it's very dark. Obviously, they're not turning any lights or anything like that. And you know Patrick's a ticking time bomb. So she walks to the back of the house. She bursts into a bedroom, and there's just a random old lady sitting on the bed. Which is like, I thought we were evacuating. Why is this woman still here? But then we hear Patrick yell out. Before she can get back to him, there's a big pile of blood on the floor. I mean, you just got here, and you're already fucking things up. Like, that poor lady's gonna have to clean that shit up. She hears Patrick zombo out, and she runs into the bathroom. And Patrick is pissed. Like, he starts beating down the door. Little does he know, there's a lovely bit of beef jerky right down the hall, just sitting there. We hear the old lady, I guess, scream. And Patrick runs over to snap into a Slim Judy. Rose hauls ass outside, and Patrick bursts outside after her. So, I guess he only took a little... I think she followed... The old lady follows him out, too, and jumps the other way. I couldn't tell if it was her or not, or if there was two zombies in the house, but I'm thinking it was her. So, again, like, he bit her, and she was a zombie. So, I don't know if it's because maybe he bit her in the neck, and that caused her to die really quickly, or if it's just because she's decrepit, or... Well, I don't know, but... It seemed like it was really fucking fast from where he's mowing down on her to then she's running after him. Rose hauls ass outside, and Patrick bursts outside. She climbs a fence, but he reaches her before she can get over. But some dude walks up and shoots Patrick about 37 times in the chest. Headshot, stupid. Here's another thing. Again, we're brand new into this. There's only a certain set amount of time in this world that people can still shoot zombies anywhere but the head. And I don't know how long it's been since we've got the first zombie, but Spears here, and every time I hear say the word Spears, there's going to be quotations around it. You'll find out in a second. Spears here shoots him a bunch of times on chest before, I guess finally hitting him in the head, because Patrick does go down. But yeah, there's only so many times before people, the characters, need to learn and adapt. And part of that is headshots. So, attractive-looking black guy in military fatigues gets a hug from Rose. Not head. He doesn't get head from Rose. So I guess, yeah, he did land one of those shots. Rose asks for help to get to the stadium so she can get her daughter back, and the man agrees. And we flash a title card, Ryan. So Ryan is a dude with a bad fucking haircut. So, they did a really nice thing here. How do you establish that a character is deaf without it being really fucking obvious that he's deaf? Without them doing something that'd be completely out of character, just so you let the audience know. And you do that by what they do here. So Ryan walks up to a burning car, and the sound cuts out. And he stares at the car for a little bit, and you hear nothing. So, he proceeds to go walking off. So that's your first hint. You're like, that was weird. So then a car drives away fast as he rounds a corner, and Ryan sees someone over a person lying in the street. That dude fucks off, and Ryan comes over to investigate. And there is a young woman bleeding from her mouth and not looking too good. Out of the blue, somebody grabs Ryan, and it's an Asian woman, and she's... yelling at him in Korean, and she probably saves Ryan's life here, because that chick is clearly fucking dead. Someone gets shot in the distance as Ryan and Asian woman haul ass away. They proceed to walk up to a house and enter, but they see a dude standing over three people tied up and gagged. So I'm not gonna keep calling her, because her name is Sun. You don't hear that in this episode. I'm assuming they're going to eventually tell you her name. I just know from IMDb. Sun tries to plead with him in Korean, but he yells at her, you know, raises a shotgun to her, and she and Ryan haul ass again. So then we see a dude casually strolling down the street, whistling, before we get a title card for Barbara. So now we've got a couple of things that I don't know if we're going to go back to or not. We've got this dude walking down the street whistling, and I wasn't able to notice if we see him anywhere else or not. And then obviously we've got the one dude with three people tied up. I don't know what the fuck's going on there. So now we get Barbara. So Barbara is still using her roadmap for some reason. And she stops, and a dude knocks on the window. The guy asks if she will give him and his family a ride. Now, if a guy walks up to you and says, "Will you give me and my family a ride?" and his family is not immediately next to him, drive away. In this world, where there are people who die, come back to life essentially, and try to bite the shit out of you to kill you, you would not leave your family a little bit down the road. Okay? Not happening. Barbara, who, if she's going to leave, spends way too much time talking to this guy. Just fucking leave, Barbara. Gets to this guy's name is Ben. He asks if Barbara is Christian. Again, just leave. He promises God he will protect her. Ben asks her to unlock the door, and Barbara says not to screw him. Her. Not sure if that's literal or figurative, but whatever. Ben tells her as soon as he sits down, get out. Like, please just die already, Barbara. That's a rookie mistake, bro. She gets out, but then the front door opens and some dude opens the van door, yanks fucking Ben out of the ground, starts beating the ever-loving piss out of Ben, before Barbara gets in the back seat for some reason. Why'd you get in the back seat? Just drive away, lady. We get a title card for Lance. Now, okay. So far, up to this point in the episode, I was like, okay, we've introduced obviously our main character. We've introduced a person that I want to see die because I dislike her. We introduced a rather interesting person as and Ryan, and another interesting person in Sun. But again, I was like, okay, like what sets this apart? So we get a title card for Lance. Now, so far, got a title card for Rose. We saw Rose. Got a title card for Barbara. We saw Barbara. Got a title card for Ryan. We saw Ryan. All of these title cards were preceded by the person's face. Here we get a bit of odd misdirection because I didn't realize this when I first watched this. It wasn't until I looked at the IMDb listings and I was like, hold on a second. So we see a dude and some woman, and the dude is reading what appears to be a map, and the lady's kind of standing back into an intersection, which whatever happens here happens to yourself here. And you think, oh, that's dude's Lance, because it's the first picture we saw after we getting the Lance title card. Well, hold on a second. As mysterious dude is standing there, a van plows into the woman, and we suddenly realize that the woman on the ground is the chick who was bleeding to death when Ryan walked up. So now you've got my attention, because I love shit like this. I love it when you see something and you don't really document it in your head as anything that important. You just think, okay, whatever, it's just a random moment or whatever like that. But to do this, where you turn around then and take that throwaway thing that people weren't paying that much attention to in Ryan's story, and then make it a part of another story, that's fucking cool. That's cool that you have things cross over like that, because everyone is in the same area here, so it does make sense. Second part of this, I am pretty sure that van that hits this chick is Barbara, or at least is the person that Barbara took the vehicle from, or is the guy who is driving the car. No, it can't be, because that's later on. Nope. So it's got to either be Barbara in the van, or it's whoever Barbara took the car from, because she said it wasn't her car. Or it's I'm stupid and it's something completely different, but it looked like the same fucking vehicle, and that's cool too. Anyways, so Kyle plows into this chick. The dude goes down and, you know, he says, I'm sorry, runs away. And then she proceeds to die. and then instantly turns. So this is a world apparently where everyone must be infected, because she clearly wasn't bit. She got hit by a car and died. She proceeds to puke, which is what we saw before with Patrick. He puked blood all over the place, got up and ran off. So she pukes, she screams, and she runs off. So she hauls ass down the road. So now we've got another cool thing. Now we're following a zombie, which is not only a nice way to kind of see how they react in situations, but it's also just something you don't see all that often. We don't really ever follow the fucking zombies. So she's chasing some kids. They wind up getting into a house. I didn't catch that they were anything important, so I don't think that they were any crossover things. So then zombie girlfriend kind of like lightly jogs down the road. Like, she alternates her speed, which I thought was interesting. She heads up onto the front lawn of these few people that are standing outside. She takes a titful of buckshot, but of course nobody apparently understands. You gotta shoot him in the head. She manages to run up to the door, but the people get inside before she's able to. She knocks on the door for a little bit, and then proceeds to take off again. So, not your average, like, brainless zombies, obviously. Like, she pounded on the door for a little bit, and then kind of like, all right, this isn't working, and fucks off, and goes and finds someone else. So, that's good for this series. It's at least good to establish it, as long as you stick to the rules, which you have to stick to the rules. Because you can use it for other things where you can have people hole up and eventually the zombies, I don't think they really, I wouldn't say get bored, but they definitely move along. So she manages to make it inside of a fence. Yeah, she doesn't really move like a zombie. Like, she pants like a person, first of all, but she moves around and like slaps the fence, and then finally finds a way to get in. So clearly a little bit more intelligent than your average movie or TV zombie. She winds up seeing two people into the distance, and she breaks through a door before running over, grabbing one of the dudes, and biting the shit out of him. The other guy he's with runs away. This other guy who runs away? That's fucking Lance. That's right. The segment card for Lance. That's him. The segment that's named after him features him for 3 fucking seconds. That's your introduction to this guy. But again, you don't know. You don't know. I only know because of the fact that I looked at IMDb, because they don't fucking mention it. They don't name him at all in the episode either. So, yeah. That's kind of fucking cool. So then we get the second aspect of this that hooked me in. We get a title card for Spears. We see an army uniform with the name Spears, and we pan out to see a white dude with a beard. Yeah. So, interesting. He just so happens to be holding our attractive black friend, who we thought was an army guy, who saved Rose. Turns out he's not actually in the army, and he's also not actually Spears. So fake Spears is in handcuffs and bleeding, and he gets marched past dude and future Zombo girl. Again, nice. I like it. I enjoy those kinds of crossover things. Spears and the two other army guys and fake Spears start knocking on doors to tell people they need to evacuate. The two other guards leave, which means Spears and fake Spears are now alone in a random house. So fake Spears says that he is not the guy they're looking for. Hyperling begins to monologue on. He doesn't really say anything of substance that, like, lets you know what's going on. Like, real Spears kind of tells him he's going to throw him in the brig, and fake Spears is like, there ain't no brig anymore, the fucking world's going to hell and shit like that. But again, you don't really know what he did or how he got to this point, but we got plenty of episodes to figure that out. Fake Spears gets up and real Spears pulls his gun on him. Fake Spears says he has to piss. He asks if he can put his hands up front, and then of course fake Spears is fine with that apparently. He then offers to let fake Spears hold it, but says he has to use both hands because it's long. So, there's your joke in the episode. Fake Spears says he can't piss in a corner, and real Spears lets him head to the bathroom. Fake Spears starts opening doors to find the bathroom, and fake Spears finally manages to attack real Spears because real Spears is a fucking idiot. He chokes him out and slams his head into the counter, and then blows his fucking head off. So that solves what I was prepared to type, which would have been a really big fucking problem about murdering this dude by, like, breaking his neck. Well, I don't know about breaking his neck, but choking him out. He would turn into a zombie. And then you're stuck in a fucking tiny little box with him. But instead, blew his fucking brains out. So cool. Blows his brains out, takes his uniform, and has now become Spears. Then we get a title card for The Checkpoint. Ryan and Son are running through the crowd of people, and we see Lance, Fake Spears, and Rose also in the crowd. They also have... Oh no, I got Ryan in there too. They swarm an exit point that is being guarded by army soldiers. Son manages to break through the fence and starts crossing the bridge. The rest of our main cast eventually break through as well, and everyone hauls ass down the bridge. Then they run up on Dude beating the shit out of Ben, and Son hops in the passenger seat, Dude jumps in the front seat, and they take off with Barbara in the back before anyone else can jump in. Spears and Rose are left in there with Ryan, who shows that he's deaf by signing thank you in sign language, and Lance is also there tagging along. We hear Ben coughing as the episode ends. So, that was a fun episode. I enjoyed it. I was a little unsure to begin with. But obviously you go into most shows kind of being unsure exactly what's going to happen, what's going on, things like that. But let me tell you, like, they got me by the end of it. I was very happy with that. So, I'm interested to see what happens. Now, we established our main group of people. Son, Ryan, Rose, Spears, Lance. I think that's it, right? Yeah, I think that's it. The dude who was beating the shit out of Ben, who we didn't see nor hear or find out who he was at all. Because now he's with Barbara and Son. So obviously, second episode, we'll most likely get what's going on there. And we'll, you know, get to see more of what's going on with the other group. So we got our core group, brought them all together, split them apart, all in the first fucking episode. A lot happened, too. I was a little concerned because we get, as far as zombie show, we get two zombies. You get Patrick and you get girlfriend who got hit by the car. So hopefully we get a little bit more of that. I'm not sure if we're going to do like the, you know, what every zombie show does where there's just like overabundance of them. But they're definitely impactful zombies, I would say that. They're fast, they're runners. They seem to be a little more smart, so I'm interested to see how that kind of shapes out from here. But all in all, good episode. I enjoyed it a lot. So we'll see what happens. But thank you for listening, and we will see you soon.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.